My own idea of theatrical entertainment, I admit, is the music hall. Strapping wenches and low comedians in my line, and your fine drama and music bore me to death. So I found the Barber of Seville a complete fag, fat Italians screeching and not a word to be understood. I read the programme for a bit, and found more entertainment in the advertisements than there was on the stage. Mrs. Rod's Anatomical Lady's Stays, which ensure the wearer a figure of astonishing symmetry. I remember thinking that the leading lady and the barber could have profited by Mrs. Rod's acquaintance. Also highly spoken of were Jackson's patent enema machines, as patronized by the nobility when travelling. I wasn't alone, I noticed, in finding the opera tedious. There were yawns in the pit, and Wellington, who was near our box, began to snore till his duchess dug him in the ribs. Then the first act ended, and when the applause died away, everyone sat up, expectant. There was a flourish of Spanish music from the orchestra, and Lola, or Rosanna, shot dramatically onto the stage. I'm no authority on the dance. The performer, not the performers, is what I pay to see, but it seemed to me that she was damn good. Her striking beauty brought the pit up with a gasp. She was in a black bodice, cut so low that her breasts seemed to be in continual danger of popping out, and her tiny pink skirt showed off her legs to tremendous advantage. The slim white neck and shoulders, the coal-black hair, the gleaming eyes, the scarlet lips curled almost in contempt. The whole effect was startling and exotic. You know those throbbing Spanish rhythms. Well, she swayed and shook and stamped her way through them in splendid passion, and the audience sat spellbound. She was at once inviting and challenging. I doubt if there was any gesture or movement in the whole dance that a magistrate could have taken exception to, and yet the whole effect of it was sensual. It seemed to say, "Bed me, if you dare." And every man in the place was taking her clothes off as he watched. What the women thought, I can't imagine, but I guess they admired her almost as much as they disliked her. When she finished, abruptly, with a final smash of her foot and clash of cymbals from the orchestra, the theatre went wild. They cheered and stamped, and she stood for a moment still as a statue, staring proudly down at them, and then swept straight off the stage. The applause was deafening, but she didn't come back, and there were sighs and a few groans when the curtain went up again on the next act of the opera, and those damned macaronis began yelping again. Through all this, Ranelagh had sat forward in his chair, staring at her, but never said a word. He didn't pay the least attention to the opera, but when Lola came on for her second dance, which was even more tempestuous than the first, he made a great show of examining her through his glasses. Everyone else was doing the same, of course, in the hope that her bodice would burst, which it seemed likely to do at any moment. But when the applause broke out, wilder than ever, he kept his glasses glued to his eyes, and when she'd gone he was seen to be frowning in a very puzzled way. This was all leading up to the denouement, of course, and when she bounced on, snapping her fan for the third time, I heard him mutter to his nearest neighbour, "You chaps, keep your eyes on me. I'll give the word, mind, and then we'll see some fun." She swirled through the dance, showing splendid amounts of her thighs, and gliding about sinuously while peeping over her fan, and at the finish there was a perfect torrent of clapping and shouting, with bouquets plopping down onto the stage and chaps standing up and clapping wildly. She smiled now for the first time, bowing and blowing kisses before the curtain, and then suddenly from our box there was a great hissing in unison, at which the applause faltered and died away. She turned to stare furiously in our direction, and as the hissing rose louder than ever, there were angry shouts and cries from the rest of the theatre. People craned to see what the row was about, and then Ranelagh climbs to his feet, an imposing figure with his black beard and elegant togs, and cries out very distinctly, Why, this is a proper swindle, ladies and gentlemen. That woman isn't Lola Montez. She's an Irish girl, Betsy James.